11. As a dog that returneth to his vomit, so is a fool that repeateth his folly. And we know that that is repeated in 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's look at that. Starting at verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the defilements of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the last state is become worse with them than the first. For it were better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after knowing it to turn back from the holy commandments delivered unto them. It has happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog turning to his own vomit again, and the sow that had washed to wallowing in the mire. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how different is the portion tonight from that which we read this morning. Thy Son himself saying, come unto me, I am meek and lowly in heart. And now, Father, we have read of vile things, and you have, without euphemism, set them forth in thy word, that in all their crudeness they may be brought to our attention. We are thankful, our Father. Let us know that many times we would not consider things unpleasant, unpalatable, and yet you bring them to our attention, because we would avoid that which is essential for us to consider. So we thank you for the portion about thy Son, fairest Lord Jesus, and we thank thee also for this vile portion about dogs. So, our God, we pray that we trust we have learned this morning, and we trust that we shall learn from the portions that we are to consider in thy will this night. Help us, we pray. We would pray for those who are in authority. Thou knowest how rapidly developments are advancing in the world. We are not able to understand this. Our God, help us know that the freedom that man speaks of is not the freedom that thy Son speaks of. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But it is something better if a man is not going to have thy Son than he's had in the past. So, our God, would you work things together for good, and let this taste of earthly freedom make them hunger for a taste of heavenly freedom. Bless those who are in authority. Give them wisdom as to the decisions that they are to make. And our Father, let thy hand turn their hearts in the direction of righteousness. For all of those that were prayed for this morning, for those who have special needs, we look to thee. And indeed, we are thankful for those who came. But our Father, we would pray that some would come who can build, who can assist us, and we are thankful for those that come to be fed. But we pray, our Father, that there might be other families that would come, young families that are hungry and would enjoy the word of God. So thou knowest what is needed. We confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and empower lips and prepare hearts, we pray, as we commit the rest of this service into thy hand. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I only read these two scriptures, the one in Proverbs 26 and the one in 2 Peter chapter 2. Yet, this subject, and I will say it and then try to stay away from it, this subject of vomit occurs ever so often in the Old Testament, and it only occurs twice in the New Testament. Once by that vile word, and another occasion by a different word, but it means the same thing. To throw up, to emit. And that is found in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus talking to the church at Laodicea. The church that says, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. And the Lord Jesus says that you are lukewarm and I will spew thee out of my mouth. So the Lord Jesus himself uses these words. Think of this now. Think in Proverbs 26 about something that is so bad that it causes a dog to throw up, and then think of your condition that is so bad it causes the Lord Jesus to throw up. You say, how humiliating. Indeed it is. And yet when I read of the conditions that existed in one of the churches, the seven churches, in Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord Jesus plainly tells us that some of the actions of the children of God, professed children of God, genuine children of God, make him sick to his stomach. And he says, certain of these conditions will cause him to spew us out of his mouth. You say, how terrible a thing, indeed, because the Lord Jesus is long-suffering, the Lord Jesus is patient, but at times he says, you are so nauseating, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. But what I want to do is to tell you a little bit about the context here in Proverbs, and then tell you about the context in 2 Peter, because there are many examples of this throwing up and of this turning again. It's very bad when something has made you so sick that you throw up. But then, what could be worse? And it is revolting, and you've probably seen it before. The very thing that a dog has done, he returns to it again. You say, that is a vile picture that God sets forth in his word. Yes. And that vile picture is a picture of God's children or professed children of God doing again the very thing that caused them to be sick in the first place. Here's a remarkable thing. When a dog, and you know the things that dogs eat, something is so bad that it causes a dog to be sick to his stomach. And in this instance, here is something in the life of one of God's creatures that is so vile that he becomes sick of it and throws it up. Now that's good. God has so constituted our bodies that when something that is poisonous, something that is harmful is ingested, that we throw it up. It tries to get rid of that which would harm our bodies. And it's the same with animals as with men. God tells us that some of the sins that his creatures indulge in are so bad that even those sinners who are accustomed to them, they can no longer keep them down, and they throw them up. That's good, because the Lord has finally made it understandable that this which you are ingesting is poison, and it should be thrown up. Now, I mentioned that, but then I mentioned the various turnings, because here is a dog that has vomited and turns again to his own vomit. Think of this. Something that made him sick to his stomach, and yet the very thing that made him sick and nature made him get rid of it, he comes back to eat it again. You say, that's terrible, that's vile. Think of the sins that you have committed in the past, and God, by His grace, made you sick of them, and you ridded yourself of them, and yet some of those very sins you have turned back to again. You say, and what is it like? Like the dog that returns to his vomit. And so, this is how God describes sin. I would describe it in a more delicate way. I would describe it in a way that is lighter when it falls upon the ear. But God describes it in a viler way still. And the Apostle Paul speaks about the things that were self-righteousnesses to him. He says, they are dung to me. You see how plain the Bible is? And yet you and I would speak of sin in terms that would take away from its vileness, from its filthiness, and yet God calls them plainly what they are. Sin, vomit, and dung. You say, these things God brings to our attention? Yes, and even though He does, you and I still will not call the sins that we commit in our lives by these names. We call them some other thing, or a departure, a variation, an aberration. We give it some such euphematical designation rather than calling it what God does in His Word. And we don't like these things, and yet God has to tell us these things because that is what they're like. You look upon a letter. We see missionaries return and show us slides of lepers, and you say, how vile, what a horrible disease. And yet God says, that is a picture of you in your sins. You say, I certainly don't want to have it pictured that way, but it is. And you look at a corpse that is decaying, and God says, that is what you are, dead in your trespasses and in your sins. And so God holds nothing back, but He sets forth sin and all its ugliness and in all its vileness. But thank God, here is something that is vile, and nature has taken its course, and that which is poisoning even this animal has caused the animal to throw it up. All right. Let's say this. We're not going to take the animal, the dog, at first, but we're going to talk about a turning, because it speaks about this dog turning back, turning again to the thing that he threw up. But the throwing up, the getting rid of that which was vile, it is what all of us in time past indulged in. Something that was poisonous and something that we were to get rid of. And I rejoice in the occurrences of this word, turn, and I have to explain to you about that word, turn, because you have read it before, but not known it. The word conversion is the same word that is translated turn, to turn again. And I have to tell you about it. The first time that a man as a sinner, in genuine faith in Christ, turns from his sins, he is converted. But the word converted simply means he is turned. And you may translate that word every time, epistrepho, you may translate that word every time to turn from your sins. Now I want to tell you an occurrence of that word, and if it had been translated by turn again, a lot of people would not have misunderstood and thought that the Bible taught that you could be saved and lost. It's this. When Peter was told by the Savior that he was going to fall into the hands of Satan and be sifted as wheat, the Savior said, but I have prayed for you that your faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And so they say, do you see? Here is Peter that was converted, and now he's lost, and he's got to be converted again. And so you can be converted again and again and again. That is true. Do you realize it? You say, I thought a man could only be converted one time. No. You can be converted 100 times. Because the word converted means to turn. The first time you turn, the initial turning, that is salvation. Now, a man can be saved only one time. He can be only born again one time. But in the sense of turning, when you turn to God the first time, that is conversion. That is salvation. That is the new birth, and that's the first time that you turn and rid yourself of those vile things in which you lived in the days of your ignorance. And when you turn, that is conversion. That is turning from your sins. I'll give you 2 beautiful verses. One of them you know. Speaking of the Thessalonians, the Apostle Paul spoke about his entering in unto them, and he said, it hasn't been in vain. You know our entering in unto you, how that you turned unto God from idols to serve a living and true God and to wait for his Son from heaven. I can remember when I turned to God from my little idols to serve a living and true God, and I'm waiting for his Son from heaven. Are you? You say, I am. Then that was your conversion. When you turned to God from idols, the word turn is when you were converted to God from idols. So let us rejoice. Whenever a man truly turns to God from idols, that is the first turning. That is his conversion, and that is fine. Now, sad to say, and I have to tell you these various turnings so that you can understand, sad to say that there are many of us who have turned from the vile things of the past that were destroying us, and after we were saved, we turned back to them again. Think of Peter. He is one. Peter had been delivered from the defilements of the world, and yet we hear him swearing to God with an oath that he doesn't know Jesus and cursing. What has he done? He's turned back to those very things that God calls vomit, and he's turned back to those things again. But it is not the dog returning again to his vomit, because Peter is no longer a dog, but even God's own can turn back again to those things that ensnared them in the past. That is sad. And when a man goes back, I rejoice that he can confess his sins, and God will be faithful and just to forgive his sins and to cleanse from all unrighteousness, and then he can be converted again. I've been converted numberless times, but the first time was for salvation. The second time, after the first time, was for restoration. After that initial turning to God from idols, you are never saved again. It is never salvation, but it is restoration. I do what I should not do. The mistakes that I've made in the past, I repeat them. But then I confess my sins to God, and there is restoration. I confess my sins to God, there is restoration. So will you remember? After that first turning, then if you need to turn again, that is restoration. But what is so sad is this, that the ones of whom we read are not sheep, but they are dogs. Listen to what it says about that first turning. It tells of us at one time serving false gods, dead gods, things of the world. And this is what it says concerning the true saints. It said, you were as sheep going astray, but you are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your soul. I'm so glad of that. Listen to what it says in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And then it says, he restoreth my soul. So if the Lord is my shepherd, I am his sheep. And we were as sheep going astray, but the first time He saved us, and then, afterwards, when we've gone astray again, He restores our soul. So do not confuse the first turning from sin, the world defilement, and the Lord Jesus becomes our shepherd. Then, if we as His sheep go astray again, He restores our soul. He doesn't save our soul. He restores our soul. But these are dogs. Please notice, the two animals that God speaks about in 2 Peter chapter 2 are not sheep, but they are dogs and they are swine. And in the Old Testament, whereas a sheep that was lost is a picture of a sinner, and the shepherd goes and he finds that sheep that was lost and brings it home. But a dog and a swine are always pictures of sinners, never pictures of the redeemed. And here is something that is startling, but it's true. It shows that a dog has vomited up the vile things that he enjoyed eating in the past. A dog has done that? Yes. And this is how it's to be interpreted. In Peter, look at it, and this is what many people fail to understand. Something that is not salvation, not true conversion, but it is the effect of the knowledge of God on a man's soul. Verse 20 in 2 Peter 2. It says, if after they have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you realize that the truth of God's salvation, the full knowledge of Jesus Christ, and the love of the Father giving Him for sinners, and the Lord Jesus praying for us, desiring that we be kept from the evil one, it can even touch the heart of a dog, and it can cause a dog to hate the things that he's been indulged in. And that dog vomits up, and through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he escapes for a while the defilements of the world. It doesn't say that he's been born again. But the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ has had its influence upon him, and it causes him for a while to draw away from the defilements of the world. But then, because he's not indwelt by the Spirit of God, because he's not empowered by the new life that is imparted to us by the Spirit of God, then those very things that made him sick to his stomach, he turns back to them again. Not as the Christian who turns to them, and I must mention this about Peter. The Lord Jesus said, you are going to be sifted by Satan, but when you are converted. And here is poor Peter, and as soon as he denies the Lord the third time, the rooster crows. And he thinks on what the Lord had said to him. And he went out and wept bitterly. Why? Because his heart was broken. Because he knew that he had returned to the defilement. But not as a dog. But he was one as a sheep that had gone astray. And the Lord had to restore his soul. And that is what the Lord told him. He said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know that I love you. Of course he did. Now, a dog can never say that. But do not deny the power of the gospel even over vile sinners. I've seen some sinners, and I can remember this. I remember many years ago in Raleigh, when I was first converted and I was so energetic in spreading the gospel, there was a tavern on Federal Street. And I went into that tavern with tracts, and angry faces were looking at me as I was going around giving out these tracts. But a sinner that I went to school with rose up and said something like this, if anybody lays a hand on him, I'll punch him in the nose. And he was in there drinking like the rest of them. But he was influenced by the fact that here was an old buddy of his in the past, and he had been converted and had turned from sin, and it had its effect upon him. And there are some who do not want Christ as Savior, and yet it has an influence upon them. They think of the hospitals. They think of the sacrifices of the missionaries going into the world. They think of the glorious gospel story. And it enables them for a while to escape the defilements of the world. What? The knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ can do that. But the notice the difference is this. Then they go back again. They are entangled again and overcome. The last state has become worse with them than the first. Now I'm so glad that my last state is not going to be worse than the first. Why? Because my first state and my last estate are going to be the same. I've been born again. I have eternal life. I shall never perish. Nobody shall pluck me out of Christ's hand. Indeed, I may have heartbreak. I may do things that disappoint my Lord. But my last estate is going to be with the Lord. Even if I sin, this is what it says, that when we do sin and we won't judge our sin, it says that God takes us out of this world that we might not be condemned with the world. But my last state is never going to be like the first one, worse than the first. What is the worst state of sinners? That they are lost and on their way to hell. But the Bible speaks about those that know their master's will and do it not, they're going to be beaten with many stripes. Those that did not know their master's will and did it not are going to be beaten with few stripes. What does it mean? It means that these people who have escaped the defilements of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they understood about it. They knew God's will. They knew truth. They knew holiness. They knew all of these things. And for a while, they came out of the world, but they were not genuinely born again. They knew their master's will, and yet they did not do their master's will. It says they're going to be beaten with many stripes. Why? Because their last estate is worse than the first. Here is a man that does know the Lord's will. Here is another man who does know the Lord's will. And the one who knows it and doesn't do it, he's going to be beaten with many stripes. And for a person who has known the gospel, who has moved along with the promptings of the Spirit of God, but who has never yielded himself, has trusted Christ as Savior, has been born again, it says his last estate is worse than the first. Why? Because God illumined his soul, showed him the power of Jesus Christ, the beauty of Jesus Christ to deliver him from the world. And for a while, he was attracted to this. But then, he gave up all that was so beautiful and illuminating to him, and he goes back to the world. Then, his last estate is worse than the first. For this reason, it is not as you and I who, God forbid, my little children, these things write down to you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. It's not that Christ prays for us and our souls are restored. But this is a once and for all going back to the vomit that we threw up. And it's our indulging in it permanently for the rest of our lives. The gospel that had its influence upon us, it has lost its influence because some ideal that is before us can only do so much, but it did not cause us to repent and receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It just had this moral influence upon us. And then we go back. We are entangled again in the very things that we escaped from for a while, and we are overcome. Then our last estate is worse than the first. And the dog that was a dog is acting like a dog again. And the sow that was a sow is acting like a sow again. So, this is the proverb that we have in the Old Testament that is repeated again in the New Testament. And think of that. Peter knew the book of Proverbs. I tell you that every time I read of a New Testament author telling me something in the Old Testament, then that is something that was impressed upon him at an earlier time in his life. And now he is repeating again. He is reviewing in the light of New Testament times that which was true in Old Testament times. In the Old Testament, it was this. Here is a fool returning to his folly. The Old Testament says, a fool returning to his folly, why, it's like a dog turning to his vomit again. But now, the sad thing is this. It's not just a fool making a mistake, and you've seen so many people in the world, not things that are going to send them to hell, but you've seen fools make the same mistake. They have been sucked in by all the false advertising, and they're fleeced of their money again and again, so many times. That's what it's talking about in the Old Testament. But here, it's something worse. It is something. It is not a mistake of a fool that can be rectified, but it is an eternal mistake, and it's a returning once for all to that vomit from which we escaped in the past that made us so sick. Now think. Here is a dog that throws up, then something inside is rid of for a while, but it is consumed again. But the sow that was washed, here is something that is outside, but having been washed, the sow goes back and it wallows in the mire again. God is just using these two pictures of something that is sickening on the inside and something that is defiled on the outside, and for a while it was changed. Inwardly and outwardly, there was a change. But inwardly, we start feeding on that vile thing that we threw up, and that which we were cleansed of in the past, we go back and we wallow in the mire again, and we become contaminated outwardly. So within and without, we are told in 2 Peter chapter 2 that the sinful man who has heard the gospel, whose life has been influenced by the gospel on the inside and on the outside, unless he's truly been born again. And it says, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, deliverance. The Lord Jesus gave himself for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world. But the knowledge delivered a man for a little while, but he wasn't truly born again. And then he goes back to it, and he becomes defiled again, feeding on the things that made him sick in the first place, but now that's all he feeds upon. He doesn't find beautiful anymore the Lord Jesus Christ. He feeds on this vile thing, and inwardly he is filled with vileness, and outwardly he is wallowed in the mire. And so here is that poor sinner. For a while, it seemed that he was a changed man on the inside because he had gotten rid of those vile things that he fed on in the past. And he looked like a clean man because his life had been washed and he was presentable to the eyes of man. But time will tell. And so he turns back and becomes what he always was, a dog and a sow. And this is what is so disappointing. So do not let anybody tell you that you can be saved and lost, that this is a picture of those who were truly saved but were lost. These are pictures of those whose lives have been influenced by the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God tells us the fearful consequences of those who have known the truth, gone along with it for a while, but then have rejected it once for all. Now that's enough about the proverb of the dog and the swine. Let us pray. Our Father, we confess that all that the world is feeding upon and wallowing in, that is what we were in the past. And yet, if some of us were to say, I was not living that vile kind of life, yet we remember that the Apostle Paul, who lived a most religious life, spoke of that kind of life as done. So, our Father, whether religious or whether vile sinners, we've been delivered from those things, and we're so glad. So help us to understand what the world would make acceptable and make beautiful, the way that you describe it, as vomit and as dung, and let us never turn from those epitaphs. Let us understand sin as you describe it in the Bible, and let us hate it and abhor it and turn from it. And our Father, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We know that there is a sinful nature in us still that would want to go back to those things that made us sick in the past. But by the Spirit of God, you have told us, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we are thankful that thy Son is interceding for us at thy right hand. So help us, being sheep, having returned to the shepherd and bishop of our souls, let us stay close to that shepherd, our Father, and not go astray again. Bless us, and let us be faithful Christians, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.